Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Best.
Survivor Specials, Phil and Alexa are back with our episode 10 recap. Franny is gone, and boy, is that Rob's sister Nino meme about to pop off. Franny and Matt are going to do it. That's all that we're seeing now. Marianne already posted it, and it's got like 14. It had like 14 retweets when I retweeted it 3 minutes after she posted it. So I can only imagine that that is going to be the whole conversation of the Survivor community over the next week. However, Alexa, first, I have to pose to you a question. If you're out there and you're playing Survivor and Jeff says, do you want to know what you're playing for? And everybody says yes. And he says, you'll go to the sanctuary. What's your reaction to hearing the words, you'll go to the sanctuary?
So my eyes started rolling and then they said margaritas and they perked right back up.
But so my question is just the words, the sanctuary, because they all reacted as if Jeff said they were going on a snorkeling trip at the Great Barrier Reef before he even said tacos and margaritas. It was like, yeah, no, they all reacted. And I was like, Yeah, the sanctuary where you guys have been going the entire time. It's that little hut that's like.
Yeah, right Carolyn's been camp. There.
Yeah, she's like lived there. She hung out with Danny. That's where she got her kill list. She was like, forget this.
Her kill list that she just keeps. Yeah. Has anyone else been there other than Carolyn and Danny have been? But still, like, it seems like everyone's been there because in past seasons, everyone's been there. Yeah. But I'm totally with you. It's like, they clearly know what the sanctuary is, but it also, like, it indicates to them that they're getting a food reward. I think that's where the reaction comes from. I don't think anyone's like, yay, we get to walk like 40 feet to the other direction to get some food. But I will say that food looked fantastic. All the margaritas looked amazing. Like tacos is a perfect, perfect reward. It's like the Chinese food reward, but maybe less intense.
Chinese food is heavy. Tacos or not, it's like you can go eat.
They don't have to be. Yeah.
And you're not eating the family taco night where you go and you get the whatever like taco shells that like you heat up in the oven and then like, everything on top of it. These were like street tacos, which is how you want a taco that's not going to absolutely decimate your stomach, as Carson has had to deal with.
Carson was like, I don't need to win this challenge.
I don't need to win this at all. So we saw them all do that, and I agree with you. It was fun. I do like Jeff. When he's saying that there's virgin margaritas, it's for anybody who's under 21. Even I love that.
Not the person who's sober.
I was just going to say that like Carolyn is so openly sober. It's not like Carolyn is trying to hide that this is something she is. So like, it'd be one thing if like, they didn't want you to know that this person was sober. It wasn't part of their story. That's like a huge part of Carolyn's story. It's why she's a drug counselor. She has said that. So I did love when it was like only Carson wouldn't drink this because he's a child. Like Carolyn, just drink. It's Survivor. Like the way he said that was just so funny to me because it was like, the only reason people don't drink is because they're under 21. Every time I go anywhere, if they offer me alcohol, I'm like, I'm give over 21. Booze. I have to do it.
I simply must consume a beer. I do like when he does that. I think it's like the and soft drinks for Will, as someone just said, that's always going to be cheesy. And that's so good. I love it. But maybe, I know like he knows what's going on, but maybe it hadn't been directly communicated to him that it came out, like that she had told her fellow castaways yet. I don't know. But either way, I had the same thought.
Yeah, it was great. But anyway, I love that. I will talk about the reward and how that actually went with the 4-4 split and the women went over there and Jamie wasn't one of them. But let's actually break down the meat and potatoes of this episode here. And we had Franny go home, but the conversation for most of this episode revolved around Jamie and her pathetic, unthinkable, despicable, tall tale of a lie that was clearly so fraudulent, which actually was 100% the truth. And when was this woman going to catch a break, Alexa? Is it ever going to happen, or is she just the dunce of the season?
And she's not even a dunce. They are just flaming her for. And I want to talk about this clip that Jamal said on this podcast. Whenever it was, this has come up a few times. Telling the truth is harder than telling a lie on Survivor. And this ended up where I am curious if she. I was like, she's overselling this. She's overselling this. But I am curious if this ended up like. What word am I looking for? Like reverse, like psychologying her into being safe. Like first I was like, she's in trouble. They don't believe her. They're saying they don't believe her. But I think like when they got no reaction from Kane, which Kane, I am confident couldn't have said anything. So I'm sure they just cut to him giving like a death glare because that was good TV, but him nodding, I think would have been completely not allowed. But yeah, I totally feel bad for her. And I was definitely on the train of like, okay, we get it. You have two idols. You're like, that's very exciting. And I was always like trying to operate under the mindset that Jamie did have two idols because that's what she actually believed, or one point, whatever, idols.
Yeah.
But like, she's trying her hardest to do everything right. And they are just killing her for it. It sucks. And I'm glad that she's so bubbly because it seems like she's really running with this. And I hope she's enjoying her time out there, or like her time is from a viewing perspective, but I'm sure it's really hard.
You know what, though? Like, Jamie is so overly positive that I don't think it's probably bothering her as much as it would somebody as neurotic as you or I are. Like, I think that this would bother us a lot more because you'd be like, I'm not an idiot. Like,
we don't know how to be that positive.
I don't relate to it. I don't understand it. I don't get it. It's not real. But all I can think of this, did you ever see Troy, the movie with Brad Pitt, like that came back in like the early 2000s?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, anyway, there's a scene in it where after they have like the big fight, Brad Pitt just rides away and drags the guy's body behind him, like on like his horses are running and the body's just dragging through the dirt. Somebody needs to make that and just GIF it that just says Jamie's edit, because that is literally what the Survivor editors are doing no matter what. And everybody's like crying as they watch it, because that's how we feel. It's like, what has she done?
What did she do? What did she do? I really don't know. And she seems so nice. And maybe they were like, it's kind of one of those things where I was thinking about, it's like one of those things I like think about in the middle of the night. This is why I've been watching the show for too long. Like this story, like the idol storyline clearly ends up amounting to nothing. She does it. Like, I assume it's not why she inevitably goes home, assuming she does go home, but because it's probably been the main topic of her confessionals, they probably had to show it, but they just like beat it to the ground.
I really thought that she was going to go home tonight. And if she would have went home tonight, it would have made so much sense, because it would have been like, she got this fake idol that she thought was real. She gave it to Kane to protect against the non-existent knowledge's power. Kane goes home with the idol. She tells the story to everybody. Nobody believes her. And that's ultimately why they vote her out of the game. So if she goes home tonight, I'm like, okay, I get it. But now there was like, that's not why they're going to vote her out of the game when they eventually vote her out of the game. If that was going to be the reason, it would have been the reason tonight. And then she wasn't even the decoy vote. I don't think she got a vote tonight. I think it was
she didn't get a vote. She
got the vote. So I'm just very bewildered, especially like when you look at confessional count, Jamie has 26, five of those came tonight. So coming into tonight, she only had 21, which isn't very many. She hasn't been a very focal part of this season. And so for this idol thing that hasn't paid off in any way, shape, or form to be taking up so much screen time and be the main storyline, I believe, of the boot of probably the second or third most popular person on this season, maybe the first most popular to some people.
Mm-hmm.
That really blows my mind, since it wasn't even, oh, it's going to be Franny or it's going to be Jamie. By the time we were in a tribal council, it was, it's going to be Franny or it's going to be Heidi.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm shocked that she didn't get any votes like that. I thought the Heidi thing maybe happened too fast, but clearly it ended up, anyone who was going to vote for Jamie ended up switching to Franny or Heidi. So I don't know. I just don't, like, when she goes home, if she goes home, I just don't really know why, like, why we got what we got from her. And again, I'm feel like, I just don't think it's, not that I don't think it's fair, because everyone signs up for whatever happens to them, but it's very incongruous with the rest of the storyline. And it's probably why subconsciously I just figured like Tika and Sokka were going to work together before Tika and Ratu, probably because we either got nothing from Ratu or dance music.
Yeah. And again, though, it didn't even feel like they worked together in this episode.
Yeah, right? That was like previous votes.
Like they did work to, but it didn't feel like it, and incongruous. I mean, I gotta give a little applause. That's probably the first time in nearly 800 episodes of this show that word has been said. So I need to just throw that out.
But University of Miami journalism major, right?
Yeah,
there
it is. That's the one word. That's her 10-cent
that
word.
It was worth it.
Pretty much everybody over here in the chat is saying she's gonna be the GOAT. She's gonna be the zero vote finalist. I mean, I've seen that from four or five people. I still see her path getting to the end very difficult. Like, how is she getting the final three? Because Jam said tonight that he sees her as the biggest threat in the game, and that's why he wanted her to go home, not Franny. I don't see that. I don't understand that. I certainly have not been told that by the editors. But when Jam, who has been right about every damn thing on this season, and when he's wrong, we're immediately told how Jam could be right about what he was wrong about, how he's got to save face and stuff. When he is saying you're the biggest threat on the season, it really does not line up with why you are being portrayed as a dodo. Mm-hmm. And maybe Jamie would go for her you know, little confessional things and just sit there and talk about her fake idol for 25 minutes. And they'd be like, wow, we really can't get anything else out of her. But this doesn't make sense. And it goes to a really important lesson for Survivor, which is don't be positive on the show. Be negative. Be as negative as possible because the editors are going to drag you no matter what. So as James Jones said, when you get voted out, be pissed off.
Be pissed. Yeah. Exactly. And I think to add to that, to go way back to the beginning of this episode, I saw you reply to Mike Bloom's tweet, which I thought was hilarious on his part. And I'm sure as a Survivor journalist, extremely frustrating. Yeah. Like she said her number one got voted out. And I was like, who got voted out? Who, what?
I can't even remember it was Kane.
Absolutely blown away by that.
Yeah.
And that is, I have no idea. So this, like no one in Ratu is winning. There's no chance that Jamie or Lauren wins. And that's really frustrating because Lauren tonight, like Lauren could have been like a few confessionals away this whole season from me thinking she's going to be an underdog winner.
Dude, Lauren's been great the last couple episodes. I mean, her crying over her kids and her talking about her dad and like all of that stuff. I mean, Lauren's been fantastic. And Lauren and Danny, like, see, this is the stuff that I miss and that I wish they would harp on and dwell on and all this. Lauren and Danny sitting there at tribal council and Danny saying, we've been on the wrong side of everything, but I love this woman to death. Whatever. But harp on that when they're on the beach and Danny's trying to convince Lauren to do something. And we see it very quickly where Lauren's like, Danny's never spoken strategy to me at all. And now all of a sudden he's sitting here saying this to me. And then she's like, but I kind of agree that this would probably be the right move. Okay. But what is your real relationship like with Danny? And I was talking about this on the Patreon episode for my after show, which I recorded yesterday, but I put up. So it was an after show, but we don't see those tertiary and like we don't see what is Karen's relationship with Kobe, Janu, Tom, Stephanie, Jen. We used to know that stuff for every character, even if we didn't know how they specifically felt about somebody. We knew about how they felt about people who they were close with or something. I don't know how Lauren feels about anybody. So when her and Danny are talking and they're like, we're on the wrong side, but we might vote together, I want to know why. And I'm not buying that alliances are dead on Survivor because guess what? No matter how much that gets rammed down our throats, the only reason that the votes have gone the way they have this season is because of the Tika Alliance. And the Tika Alliance has been running everything. So I don't want to hear that alliances are dead because they're not. So why aren't we getting more of these types of conversations, which are being very influential to who's being voted out of the game? And like you said, I don't think Lauren can win because her edit has been absolute crap. But Lauren has done nothing to make me think she can't win the game.
Yeah, absolutely. And as a viewer slash analyst of this show, like I go two different ways. Yeah, giant air quotes on analyst. Not to give myself a job title, but like the Alexa who's been watching for 44 seasons, who's never podcasted a day in her life, is all about Lauren. But I'm watching this and I'm like. She has kids. That stinks. That totally stinks. But we have been texting about this a little bit during the episode. We have what is probably the most exciting or interesting reward in whatever, a few seasons. Like it's the girls' room. They're having a moment. It's all good. And they have a whole night together.
Mm-hmm.
And we see none of that. And I feel like all this conversation about let's split between Danny and Jamie, cut that 3 minutes out and show this because it clearly ended up amounting to something. I know Franny ended up going home, but this I feel like was Franny's swan song. Like she really got a great send off. She went home because everyone loved her and she's amazing at challenges. That's and she's about to jump into the arms of her potential boyfriend. So
yeah,
everything seems
they're still dating.
They are still dating. Yes, her to be future boyfriend.
Yeah.
Give us more of that. Franny is saying, I get to play a social game. I get to see how this goes. And obviously it ends up not working, but that was a really fun, real confessional and very real reaction to being in trouble for the first time.
Yeah, and that's the new A+ Survivor confessional. When you say I'm excited that I get to play, Franny and Matt went out the same way. Brandon went out the same way. When they first became eligible to be voted out of the game, they were voted out of the game. Three out of the four jury members right now were voted out the first time that they were eligible to be actually be voted out of the game.
Yeah.
So like that is becoming that thing, but you're 100% right. Like we talked about this and I was obviously texting, joking around, but kind of serious. Back in the day, we used to get them like farting and puking and Big Tom drank so much bourbon. He couldn't even stand up. I think that was in All-Stars. I don't even think that was Africa, whichever one it was. It might've been Africa. It doesn't matter. Like we,
You're telling me they didn't get margarita drunk? Like, don't lie to me.
Like, give me something. And that's the personality stuff that is really fun because Heidi right now seems like a game bot who is worried about what is going to happen in the game and nothing else. I might vote Danny, but I am like, that's what I'm getting from her. Where's the emotion to Heidi? Where is this? We know that these people aren't getting cast on the show to be game bots. So there's going to be game bot-y characteristics, but every one of these people has a huge heart. And so I want to see these people get a little drunk. Remember, Tom Westman back in Palau was puking over the side. Captain America, Tom Westman, is puking over the side of the thing, and they're all making fun of him.
Yeah,
let's see that. Let's get some of that.
Absolutely. And Heidi, you know, like Franny took three people partly because they were all mothers, and every single one of them talked about it, except for Heidi. We got nothing. And then all we got is Heidi and Danny, like now we're super tight. We've been told that, but the only time I've seen them talk is Danny like slighting her tonight. I've never seen them have like an equal relationship conversation. So that's also a little bit of a hard sell for me.
Yeah, I totally agree. And yeah, like I'm also not buying that Heidi was that hurt about Danny saying, I don't need your vote. Like I'm really not buying it because Danny, we didn't see like the equal side of that when Heidi told Carson about the hidden immunity idol. So I feel like Danny and Heidi have enough of a relationship that Danny does feel comfortable saying that to her because she's also said, we never saw the aftermath of her of Danny knowing that Heidi is the one who told people about his idol. We never saw the aftermath. So this felt like it was manufactured because Heidi does ultimately vote for Danny in this episode, but it didn't feel like that was the reason she was voting for Danny. It felt like the reason she was voting for Danny was more because she wanted to make the move and start playing the game with the women. That's what it felt like to me. And it felt like she's starting to bond a little bit more with Carolyn. And what Carolyn wanted more than anything was for Franny to stay tonight.
Yeah, the way the votes shook out is really interesting. So it was Danny, Carson, Jam Jam, Jamie, and Lauren voted for Franny. Heidi voted for Danny, and Carolyn and Franny voted for Heidi. I can't believe it was not Carolyn who voted for Danny. That was very confusing for me. So again, like this is like fine for the sake of suspense, but it ended up being this like Ratu group that was originally in the middle of nowhere. They end up being pretty integral to this. I think it's going to be really interesting to see what happens because Jam Jam and Carson had a whole conversation about how bad it would be to leave Carolyn out. And then that's exactly what they did.
And we're seeing the repercussions immediately next week. Like in the next time on, that is what they're talking about. And that's not being made up. Like Carolyn is
real.
A player. We've talked about this. She has done a good job of keeping her emotions in check because if she actually thought Franny was in danger tonight, she could have potentially played that idol for Franny. Now, I think she was totally blindsided because she does trust Jam Jam and Carson so much. But also at this point in the game, if you're Jam Jam and Carson, you're starting to get to the point where keeping Carolyn happy isn't all that important anymore. Mm-hmm. She's running out of options. Tonight was probably the last time she had options. And I think Heidi was seeing that too. If you're Heidi, would you rather sit at the end with Jam Jam, Carson, Danny, and Franny? Which I get, or forget Franny. So Jam Jam, Carson, and Danny. Or would you rather sit at the end with Carolyn, Jamie, and Lauren. Mm-hmm. You'd probably rather go with the second half of that. Now, in both of those instances, you want Franny out of the game eventually, but to get to a final three that you'd rather have with Carolyn or Jamie, who clearly is just being dragged through the mud here, and Carolyn, who is playing what everybody sees as an emotional game, the best move for you tonight is to keep Franny in the game. So I think that's where there was this desire for a big move, but both sides kind of butted heads about who they wanted the big move to be. And what I saw tonight is that Carson and Jam Jam definitely have the control of that Tika 3 And people are taking them more seriously than they're taking Carolyn, because Carolyn was left out to dry tonight, whereas everything that Carson and Jam Jam told the other people to do, they did. So I don't know if that went completely off topic or if I stayed on topic, but it,
no, that was good. I think it's going to be really interesting with Carolyn having that idol. I think now it's becoming very important. And I think you're right. I think had she known that Franny was going home, I think she totally would have played her idol on her. And I think that would probably be the way for her to get her agency back. And I think she knows that. Like, I think she's really pissed. There aren't a lot of people left. She can very much use that to command a vote.
Yeah, no, she totally can. And I think that she will use that. We'll see how emotional of a player she really is next week, because she could easily use that idol to get rid of Jam Jam or Carson if she really wants to.
Yeah.
Because Heidi definitely offered the olive branch to work with her. Jamie feels like she's in the dark. Jamie is saying next week that her and Lauren are in the power position, which we know every time Jamie says something, it's wrong. So that's not correct, but maybe
not good.
The four women that are left in this game with Carolyn's idol and Heidi's idol could easily take out the men if they wanted to. And right now, Carolyn is hurt by all three of the men. She's hurt by Jam Jam and Carson because of what happened tonight. And she's hurt by Danny because Danny was dismissive towards her at the sanctuary. So if Carolyn really pushes for it, that could absolutely happen where one of the men is screwed next week.
Yeah, I think Danny is probably in a lot of trouble, but his main challenge competitor just went home. So I think he could very well win individual immunity. But Carson ended up winning it this week. So there is a lot. There's a lot of different people who are winning it. Like Lauren ended up winning one. Carson's won one. But I think Danny is like clearly the most physical person there, especially with Franny being gone. And I know we talked about this a little bit with James. I don't know if that was such a good thing for him to target her so much, because he probably needed her to hide a little bit.
Yeah, I think so.
He also just saved her.
I know. Which is odd. That's what gets me. But I think Danny realized that this was the time. I think he realized that you're running.
It probably was.
And the one thing that is true about Danny, as we saw tonight, because I turned to my wife and I said, he's going to dominate this immunity challenge unless he really sucks at puzzles. He really sucks at puzzles.
He does. He is
really bad at
puzzles. He had a long time before someone came.
And when Jeff said he has made no progress, we saw it. He made no progress. Like, he might as well have just picked up the pieces, threw them in the middle and said, done. He didn't do anything. So he's bad at puzzles. From a physical standpoint, though, any physical challenges that don't have a puzzle at the end, he is the favorite to win from here on out because Franny is gone. And we have actually seen quite a few of those challenges this season. Not every challenge has been ending in a puzzle. So that's what Danny kind of, that's where his benefit is. If they end in a puzzle, he's going to lose no matter what. But now if it's physical, he has designed it pretty much so that he is going to win. And Nicola called me out on saying interesting as my new not for nothing. They're placeholders. They hold over time when I don't know what else to say, but now I'm not going to say interesting for the rest of this podcast. So go ahead.
Unique.
Yes.
Whatever other word we could use. That is a really good point about the puzzles. This was a very fun challenge. I know the reward challenge we've seen before. This was a really fun, play on the inchworm that is such a ridiculous challenge, but maybe we've seen the star in the past. I feel like I haven't seen it in a while, so I was totally fine with it. But I appreciated that they had to like hold the buoy in their mouth. I feel like that was just made all the more ridiculous. I'm actually shocked it was an immunity challenge. I feel like that's always a reward challenge because it's so random.
Which part?
The inchworm thing.
Yeah, I always thought it was random until I saw Danny do it this time. And the way that Carson 3D prints puzzles, I feel like Danny was just like going in his backyard, shackling his hands to his sides and just diving over the top of mountains that he made for himself. So, like, I like the addition of the buoy. I thought that was a fun addition, and having to drag that with your mouth and like making it specifically be with the mouth. I thought that was fun. And Danny destroyed this part.
Oh,
so maybe
God,
it's not as random as we thought, because Danny was ripping through that.
Yeah, he was fantastic. I liked the challenges this episode. If anyone's listening, mark the time and date. I know they've repeated this dizzy one so many times, but I think it's so funny watching them be dizzy.
Yeah,
I have no problem with it.
I don't think they've done the dizziness a bunch, but this version of the dizziness I feel like is a pretty new iteration. And it is kind of a pointless iteration, which is why I'm okay with it, because it's at the beginning of the challenge and it's literally just to make them fall over themselves.
Yeah, it's strictly to be funny, and they're pretty much over the dizziness by the time they get to like the ball throwing, which maybe, who knows if that's actually true. But yeah, I liked it. I know we've seen it in like every single new era episode, probably the same episode every time, but whatever.
Whatever. Yeah, it's all good.
Whatever.
So yeah, Danny did it. Carson ended up dominating the challenge part. Danny's had so many kill confessionals, because then after this, Franny didn't win, so everything's going to be fine, and that's who's going to go home tonight. And then that's actually what happened. How often does that happen? Not often. But I am starting to get very Terry vibes from Danny, in that he is very good at the physical portion of the game. Doesn't feel that good at the social portion of the game.
Do you know what's so funny? I wrote down Terry as well in my notes for a very different reason. I was like, does anyone have eyes on Terry? Franny picked the mothers. Where does that power rank in Terry's choices of who is approved to go on these rewards or not? That's so funny you brought him up.
But it is funny because Danny's a new father. So the mother
attention.
Yeah, he has like a 1 month old or something. The baby, I think, was born right before he went out.
So oh my gosh.
Danny has a newborn, but it was about the mother. So yeah, I mean, Terry, where is he at? But Danny's reaction to that, even though Terry was way more emotional on Panama, and God, I'm almost up to that in my rewatch, and I can't wait for Terry, Aris, Shane, and Danielle. It's just
unbelievable. Three.
It's so much fun. But Terry's reactions were always stronger because he was so on the outs. But Danny's reactions kind of remind me of what Terry would have been like if Terry was actually in some sort of power position, which he never was.
Yeah, that's Danny so
is
true.
Clearly frustrated, but he's holding it together pretty well as he stands out there, and he's just like, no, it's fine. Like, yeah, whatever. Like,
yeah,
not a big deal. I'm good. I don't want it anyway. I don't need to eat. I don't need my loved ones, blah, blah, blah. But you can tell on the inside it's actually killing him. So his social game is okay from that perspective, but
he's got a few one-line. Sorry, go ahead. I cut you off.
I was just going to say, they saw Franny as a bigger threat than him tonight, which is why she went home instead of him, because there was an easy opportunity to get rid of him.
Yeah. Danny is good for like one blunder one-liner per episode, and that's probably means it's like to the nth degree actually out there. So I don't think he's like, I think they like him. I think he wouldn't get away with like the accidentally backhanded things that he says if they didn't like him, but it's probably enough that people are like, yeah, but I think I like it because it's very real. Like, that is somebody who is speaking their mind, and I love that.
He is so Jersey without the obnoxious Jersey accent. You know what I mean? Like, he's a Jersey guy.
Yeah, he's got the like fast talking New York thing.
And he has the rudeness and the abruptness at times where you kind of like cringe, but then you're like, that's just kind of how he is. Because you see this a lot with Stephanie, Judd, Tony. Like, these are all Jersey people. And they're all a lot more aggressive than Danny is. But Danny definitely has those moments where you're like, was that Tony? Was that Steph? Like, when he'll have his like little like anger moment. Like, I can't believe these people are going to sit out for this shit. Like, that's Steph. That is Steph to a... So he just has a Jersey personality, which is why it's funny that he's getting along so well with everybody, because not a lot of Jersey personalities do. So good for him. But I'm still not buying a Danny win. And I struggle to understand if he was actually a threat. These people saw Danny as somebody who could beat them at the end, and they know he's strong. He's finished second in two challenges. He dominated that snake portion of this challenge. He's done well in challenges. If he was that big of a threat to win the game, you wouldn't have voted out Kane before him, and you wouldn't have voted out Franny before him. And he might get lucky like a Jonathan, where we never actually see that his social game wasn't good enough to get him any votes at the final three. because he might not get there, which might make people say, oh, let's bring Danny back because Danny can get some votes at the end. I like Danny a lot. I think he's a really fun character. I'm just not buying that he's in the position that we all think he might be in as a viewer. I mean, my parents are at home being like, Danny's so great. I think Danny could win. I'm just not buying that Danny's actually in a position to win the game based on the decisions the tribe's making around him.
Yeah. And not, I'll like dive into the edit a little bit. Like my family, they watch like very casually, but they can name like half the people on this cast. Like they can't name Lauren and Jamie don't have names. And like, that is not like Lauren and Jamie's fault. That's not my parents' fault. It's just from casual to analysts, everybody sees that. And it's just like, to me, that is not a sign of a well, like edited situation. Like, I think Carson's kind of the only one where I kind of can't figure out. I don't think he's going to win, but I wouldn't be shocked if he did. Like, they were pumped when he won individual immunity. Everyone was pumped about that. And at this stage in the game, nobody should be happy that anyone except for themselves is winning.
Yeah, I think they were more pumped that it wasn't Franny or Danny.
Probably, honestly. Yeah.
And it's easy to cheer that on when it's Carson too, because Carson is kind of this lovable, like the young kid, guy.
Yeah.
But you're talking about how these people don't have names. I just want to throw this into perspective for everybody who's watching at home. And now I understand that this person played an immunity idol in episode one to stay in the game. I understand that. Okay. I get that. In episode number one of this season, Brandon, who got a confessional in every episode he was in this season.
Oh, I'm not gonna like this.
14 confessionals. 14. After tonight, Heidi has 19.
Terrible.
Okay. So we are 10 episodes into the game. Heidi coming into tonight she only had two tonight. So she had 17 coming in tonight. But when Brandon was voted out of the game, Heidi, after that episode, had 15 confessionals and Brandon had 14 in the first episode. This is why there's a disconnect nowadays. I understand that there's always going to be a Zoe. There's always been poorly edited characters on Survivor. There's been Zoe. Even Kim Johnson was edited pretty terribly back in Africa. There's been poorly edited players. But when it's half the cast for a long portion of it.
Yeah.
Jamie, Lauren, and Heidi haven't gotten any love from the editors. And we've talked about it a lot. Heidi has been right about everything. Tonight was the first time Heidi got it wrong. Mm-hmm. And we should be sitting here going, oh, shit, that's a power play. Franny's gone. Heidi's out of the power position. Jam Jam has taken total control and Danny is on in the in. That's how that moment should feel. Instead, this moment feels like, oh, Carolyn didn't get what she wanted. Franny, who we all loved, went home. And now what are Jam Jam and Carson going to say to do that? We don't get the gravity of what actually happened with Heidi there. Or what actually happened with Danny. And that's the bummer of it, because it has been so terribly edited. Now, the one thing people do point out is that normally in terribly edited seasons, a woman wins. So potentially Heidi's still going to come out and win.
Or Lauren or Jamie.
Not going to be Jamie. I cannot imagine that this is a winner the way that she has been dragged through the dirt.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah. It's really, I mean, like, It stinks as a viewer, like from an like empathetic standpoint, like, but at the same time, like they went out there, they're in the final seven, like they're making it. So I'm happy for them, but it's just, it's tough. And I really hope I hope this 90 minute episodes rumor is true, because
if there's a 90 episode season, I'm leaving.
Can I interest you in Australian Survivor?
Yeah, no,
it's pretty much like The Bachelor. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I really hope so too. I hope that's where they go. And that was a big part of what I talked about in the after show, was I hope that in these 90 minute episodes, we start getting the conversations between characters who never play together, but we still need to know where they stand when it comes to each other, because
absolutely,
that's what's important. That's what this game is about. And again, tonight, yeah, Franny goes, that sucks, but it does not hit home the way it would have back in the old days, when you would get one of those votes where you'd go, what the hell just happened? I mean, think about the Michaela boot, right? You knew where Jay was at. you knew where Will was at. Hannah's face said everything pretty much that needed to be said. We didn't know Sunday like at all at that point, but Brett also was very involved. You knew that Brett and Sunday though wanted that to happen because they were on Gen X. So when you go and you look at that boot, even though that had three of the worst edited characters on that season in that boot, we still knew why it was vital to every single one of them and how it would impact their game moving forward. And that was in the pre-merge. We're not getting that to this level. I don't know if this actually helped Heidi's edit or if or like helped Heidi's game or hurt Heidi's game as much as it seems like it did. I don't know how this actually impacts Jamie or Lauren's game. I really don't. But we cannot have the excuse of the day of the alliances is done. That's bullshit. It's not true. The alliances are there because I am watching Lauren and Jamie stick together. And I am watching the Tika 3 control every vote, even when Carolyn's on the outside. We know that the day of the alliance is still here because Carolyn is very upset that her alliance mates voted against her tonight. Don't use that as an excuse to be lazy with the editing. I guess that's the moral of my story.
But I think this, like the gameplay and like the, this season has gotten a lot better in the second half, but it definitely makes me, I feel like I've watched two different seasons in the past 2 months. And I feel like there's not much continuity, and not to be that person who complains about advantages all the time, but the pre-merge is a completely different game than what we're watching now is chaotic votes that are clean because I watched it very clearly go from Danny to Jamie to Danny and Jamie to Franny to Heidi. I could see that because everyone could vote. I knew that Heidi was threatening to play her idol. I knew that Carolyn still had, like, it was just, it was clean, and that was a very exciting episode. And that was good. I liked that.
I've been saying since that final 11 that people really weren't happy with because six people were just sitting over there on the jury, and we had that. I said, if that's where they want to do the split vote, that is where they should do the split vote. Like, I'm total, or the split tribe. As long as the rest of the season they don't do that again, now the final 10 plays like a normal final 10 of Survivor. And right now, this final 10 is playing very much like any other final 10 of Survivor would play. And that's why we're enjoying it. And that's why it's fun to watch, because there's a couple idols that could be out there, maybe an extra vote. But a lot of what is actually taking place is strategy. The strategy might not always be sound. It might not always make sense. But strategy is what is the reason why people are going home. At final 10, it's why Brandon went. At final 9, it's why Kane went. And at final 8, it is why Franny went. It wasn't because of idols, although Brandon was because of an idol, but that Brandon was who everybody wanted out. And had there not been an idol, they would have changed the votes and actually voted for Brandon. They knew that Danny, they were flushing Danny's idol. So all of that, we are watching very normal Survivor right now. It might not always feel like it because we still know we're in 44 and anything can pop out of the woods. Jeff's just going to appear from a bush and hand somebody a slip of paper. But I think that's what's been refreshing. So if that means that at final 11, Matt has to be the sacrifice that, you know, that the island demanded, I'm all for it because the final 10 is more important.
Yeah, no, definitely it is. And for those listening to Jeff's podcast, we all know the do or die twist is dead. It is long gone. So we won't be seeing that. Well, I feel like we'll probably see that weird final five, go to a new beach, do a crossword puzzle situation.
Make us all yawn,
Give them an idol for the sake of giving them something. But I don't know. We still have three more episodes until that happens. So keep it going.
Yeah, I'm a fan. I really am. Like, I'm still not thinking – like, I still don't understand the hype of this season. But then again, Redemption Island, Ghost Island, these are the ones that get hyped generally by production and everybody. I still enjoyed 43 more. I still enjoyed 42 more, but this is getting strong, right? And and I made the comparison to myself. I said, self, this has a fan's favorites feel to it, where the pre-merge happens, and the pre-merge of fan's favorite is still pretty good, but there's, you know, Medivacs and the Kathy situation and then the Chet and Joel thing and Chet being whatever. But then in the post-merge, it picks up. And a lot of that was just idol plays that we hadn't seen before and blindsides and whatever. But that's what this is starting to feel like. This feels like two very different seasons where the first part of the season was whatever. And this is barreling towards what feels like it's going to be very satisfying. And to get there, it has been satisfying over the last three episodes. So there's been a dramatic shift, I feel. And I'm all for it. Let's see how production screws it up.
Yes. Well, we lost a huge power player tonight. We lost somebody who totally, absolutely could have won. So I hope that I don't want to say it's like too little too late. Like I don't know if this evens it out more or if we just get a lot more of Jam Jam and Carolyn, which is clearly working and clearly like I and everyone else likes it. But I'm curious if now it's going to even out a little bit, but I don't necessarily know if it will.
Yeah, I agree. We did tonight. My computer is like exploding every time I open up a new window. So I'm trying to like go into the prop bets. Tonight though, we did get a confessional from everybody. And that's 2 weeks in a row where we had that happen. Franny had 7, Jamie had 5, Jam Jam had 5, Carson had 4, Carolyn, Lauren, and Danny all had 3, and then Heidi had 2. So that's actually pretty even, especially
pretty good.
The person who went home got the most, and they were also one of the fan favorites. So that makes sense. But it seems like there's more of an effort. And again, if this is the way Survivor is going to go moving forward, I'm all for it, which is the pre-merge can be the pre-merge. That's where all the twists and chaos and nonsense needs to happen. And then the final 10, start editing everybody a lot better, start building us in, whatever. That's fine with me. But I'm still going to sit here and scratch my head about 11 confessionals for Matthew in episode 1 and 14 for Brandon in episode 1 when neither one of them were impact players on this season.
I mean, Matthew has been – who has eyes on Matthew? Because Jamie is like the butterfly effect of that is really cool. It's very like Morgan and Ghost Island, but – it's again, I would have loved to see this in a reunion. Like I'd love to see Jamie and Matthew talking it out at a reunion. And unfortunately we're not going to get that.
Yeah. I totally, totally, totally agree. And yeah, we're not going to know. And Matthew, like that was a big portion of Matthew's confessional content. And it makes me sit here and go, why? What was the point? But you know, anyway, it's been very good. The last three episodes have been very entertaining. I've really enjoyed it a lot. Good stretch. Hopefully it continues. And I come into this final 7 saying I still think Tika's in control, but now Carolyn could easily blow up the game. Danny and Heidi on one side, Lauren and Jamie on the other. We just saw last season three people who weren't that, you know, I mean, Gabler had a confessional in every episode, but Gabler, Owen, and Cass sat in the final 3. Without ever, like, none of them were huge over-the-top personalities. We all came into that finale thinking it's going to be Jesse, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. And so maybe that's the route this season's going as well. I don't know. Because if that's the case, if a Jam Jam or a Carson go next week, I sit here and say anybody can win then. It's wide open. Because now we're starting to see Lauren pick up and Heidi pick up and whatever. Should they have gotten more early on if they go on to win the season? Absolutely. But it could be taking a turn. And the end game is ultimately what's more important.
Yeah. And this is sort of where like the Marianne's come alive. Like this is where it's like act 3 right now. Yeah. I feel like going into this final 7. So definitely going to be interesting. We only have what, 4 episodes left of this season? 3? 3 episodes left.
It's so the 10th, the 17th, and the 24th. There's 3 episodes left. That's it.
Dang. That's
otherwise
crazy.
Otherwise, Bryce and Wendell got the finale date wrong and we're in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, then everyone's in a lot of trouble. Yeah, that's insane. There's only 3 episodes left of the season. Crazy, crazy, crazy.
Which makes sense because next week, after next week, they'll be down to 6 after the week after. So the finale will have 5.
Yeah. I love that we've gone down to 5-person finales. Much better.
Much better.
Unless you have anything else to add, I can talk about who we're going to be talking to.
Well, I just want to throw in real quick. So Franny's official. She cried a tear. She got 10. She got 11 votes. So the 10 or more votes. She won individual immunity. She made the jury. She had her mouth blurred a lot tonight. She had a confessional in every episode she was in. She had an episode title. She did not hit 40. In fact, she just hit 31 tonight. So she didn't actually have as many as you might think. Did Heidi
she carried well? Did Heidi cry?
Yeah, did I text you Heidi cried? I forget who I texted.
I don't think she cried.
I think she did.
She may, you know what? She may have cried when they said, let me look back at our text. Jamie, Carolyn, Jam Jam, and Heidi all definitely cried. And okay. Franny and Lauren. That's literally everyone.
So the only one who hasn't cried then that is still left in the game is Danny. So you all can try to help figure that out. I don't know if he's ever going to, but he's the only one so far who hasn't. So yeah, those are Franny's official stats. I think we went through Kane. He only made the jury, blurred his mouth, and had an episode title. He didn't hit any of the other ones. So Kane was not a prop god, but Franny was a prop goddess. So that one worked. Yeah, that's all I got. So go ahead, take us in. What are we doing next?
That's all we got. So we are continuing with the Survivor Season 43 post-merge. We're having Carla join us this coming Monday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern, nice and early, right before dinner. We are really excited. We've been wanting to talk to Carla for a while, especially after having Jesse on and having James. We're really excited. So make sure to tune in this Monday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern to talk through the final seven with Carla. And we've been kind of agreeing with our guests on who's going home and where the power rankings are in this, probably a result of the edit, but it's definitely going to be good to hear Carla's perspective. So we're really excited to have her on.
Yeah. And I did the best this week. I beat James and you with
nice.
Franny had seven and I had Jamie at eight. So
yeah, that was I she was one of the people I thought was going to win. So you either put her at one or seven. Yeah.
Once you get locked in on somebody, it's like how I'm locked in on Jamie going home. Once you're locked in on somebody winning, it's very hard to imagine how they go home. I remember 100%. During 33, I picked Chris Hammonds to win. And I remember like going to bed after like the second episode and be like, I can't imagine that guy getting voted out. Like he definitely won the game. And I said that to Will, and Will was like, dude, you're an idiot. Like you're envisioning nonsense. And then sure enough, Chris Hammonds, I can envision it now. I can definitely envision that now. So, but yeah, anyway, very excited to talk to Carla. That's gonna be a lot of fun. Patreon.com/Survivor Specialist. It's a new month. Come on in, join us for a month. See if you like it. Come hang out with the Discord group and everything like that. I finally got the link to send to the people when they sign up.
Oh,
what
good.
A concept. Yeah. So we don't have to do that every time, but go ahead, join that. I'll be doing the after show tomorrow morning.
And Survivor Rewind coming up.
Yeah. John and McKenna have three more episodes of that left. And then in the summer, we'll have to figure it all out, but
yep.
Enjoy yourselves.
Come on, stay tuned, everybody. We'll see you on Monday.
Bye.